If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hi there. Welcome to Radio Free America, 7 o'clock, just about straight up on the East Coast. And welcome to the last Monday in the month of March. March can go away. It can march on out of here as soon as possible, as far as I'm concerned. Duke Brooks is my name. Thanks very much for being along tonight. The number is 718-305-7176. As it always is here at conservativenationradio.org. Now, if you are a regular listener to Monday Night Madness here, we did not have talk radio news service tonight. I think Jeff Holtzman had the day off, and I'm hoping that tomorrow night on Women Patriots, it will be back up and available, and likewise on Wednesday for Chris Ricketts' show, Warrior Catholic. On Thursday for Carl Higbee and Guy Reschenthaler with The Sound of Freedom. Friday, the Christopher Manti Show. Normally, we don't have the news for the Christopher Manti Show because it would be about 5 or 6 hours old by the time it was on the air, and that's no longer news. That's history at that point. Now, on Saturday, we have a new show that airs here on conservativenationradio.org, and it comes to you Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and it is the New Wise Conservatism with Robert Garding. Robert has been on air on the internet on his program, New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, for several years, I think for like 5 years, and we are very, very happy that he has chosen to join us here at conservativenationradio.org, where the number is 718-305-7176. Now, a couple of programming notes. Normally, just before 20 after the first hour on Radio Free America, we have the Religion of Peace update. You know, the Religion of Peace, you know the one I'm talking about, right? The Mohammedans. Mohammedanism, the religion of peace. We are the most peaceful religion in the world, and anybody that says that we're not is going to be beheaded. You know, that religion of peace. Kevin Whiteman, who does the Religion of Peace update for me here at Radio Free America, is in North Carolina, which is where he lives. And I got to be honest with you, I think I kind of envy people that live in North Carolina. It is a great place. I love living in Delaware. I love living on the Delmarva Peninsula, also known as the Eastern Shore. I love it. However, I lived in North Carolina for a year. I loved every moment of it. I lived in Fayetteville. I was not in the service, but many of the people that became my friends were in the service. Mike Bankhead was in the 82nd when I was there. Met a bunch of his. I mean, these are people that are defending our country. These are people who are literally willing to lose their lives in the defense of our country. And this is why those folks deserve some pretty serious admiration and respect, as far as I'm concerned. If you don't think that, we can debate that. We can debate that. 718-305-7176 is the number. If you think that the U.S. military is the bad guy, I'm not really sure what you're doing listening to me, but that's just my own opinion. And I think that those who are not on the side of the U.S. military obviously have a different agenda. There's no question about that. If you are not a fan, an admirer of the United States Armed Forces, and you call yourself an American, then there's something wrong there. There's no question about it. 718-305-7176 is the number. Anyway, Kevin was in the Marines for most of his life, and now he is retired from the Marine Corps, and he is looking at some health issues right now, and he had a procedure done earlier today, so that's why he's not going to be on the air tonight. But he will be next Monday, and that's a good thing, so make sure that you're here, and since you are here, make sure that you continue to listen tonight, because we will have Common Sense with Kevin Wade. We will have the ever-popular and newsworthy Civil War update. Not really sure how much of an update, but in any event, on this day in Civil War history, because we are now moving very rapidly. We 150 years ago, we had just we're in the spring of 1863, and you know, in 1863, a couple of very, very major battles took place in May and in July. In May was the Battle of Chancellorsville, Virginia, which is just, oh, I don't know, 8 miles west of Fredericksburg, maybe. Fredericksburg is on I-95, and you go west of there, and you will see the Salem Church on your left, and you go a little bit further, farther, and you will see the ruins, the actual ruins of the Chancellor Inn. That was called Chancellorsville, and that was a key battle. It was a brilliant tactical victory for General Robert E. Lee and General Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson. But sadly, General Jackson was killed at that battle, and the speculation is rife that and has been for, 150 years or something, that if Stonewall Jackson had survived Chancellorsville, that either the Battle of Gettysburg would have never been fought in the first place, or it would have ended up as a Confederate victory. And that's a very interesting prospect. I've got to be honest with you, I fully understand why somebody would want to get out from underneath the what is turning into now an iron boot of Washington, D.C. But I'm not really sure why. I was up in Gettysburg in 2004 with a lady that I had met, and she had a friend of hers with her who had was from Scotland. This younger girl from Scotland, and we went all through the Gettysburg battlefield, and we went up to Little Round Top, and we were on the top of Little Round Top, and I mentioned to these two ladies that if the 20th Maine had not held the left of the extreme left of the Union line at that battle, and if the Alabamans and Texans that fought them had won, if they had turned the left flank of the Union line, that the Union probably would have lost the Battle of Gettysburg, under which circumstances it's entirely possible that the Confederates shortly thereafter may have actually been able to defeat the United States and become a separate country. And the woman from Scotland said, yes, and I said, the entire world would have been completely different. All world history would have been completely different from that point forward. She said, yeah, it would have been safer. You know, the world would have been safer if America had not been the nation that it was. And the only thing I could think to say was, yeah, it would have been safer for Hitler. No question about that. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America at conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. Very, very glad that you are along this evening. Joe Biden, I've never met him personally. I live in Delaware. I know a lot of people that know Joe Biden personally. Joe Biden went to Paris during a one-night stay. This, incidentally, is from Huffington Post Money. All right, you know the Huffington Post and how left-wing they are. Quote, a $585,000.50 hotel bill for one night at a hotel is either the result of an unimaginable amount of room service, or if you're a member of Vice President Joe Biden's posse, it's just another night in Paris. That's per a contract awarded to the Hotel Intercontinental Paris Le Grand, which hosted Biden's one-night stay during a diplomatic trip to Europe in early February. I know that hotel. I've lived in Paris. I know that place. Despite the eye-popping figure, administration officials swear Biden hadn't been ransacking every mini bar in sight. The costs, quote, are in line with high-level travel across multiple administrations, unquote, explained an unnamed State Department official to ABC News. The official added, quote, the contract costs cover the entire range of support, including accommodations for military communication, Secret Service staff and other support professionals. Security experts are also required to travel in advance of the president or vice president. Safety and security are not negotiable, unquote. But I suspect that the amount of money that was spent on the taxpayer's behalf might be negotiable. I've got to be honest with you. A second contract unearthed by the Weekly Standard shows Biden staying in London was a comparative bargain, costing taxpayers just $459,338.65 more than $100,000 cheaper than his night in Paris. That was kind of my experience when I was over in Europe, that London was less expensive than Paris. I will say this. There must be some way that the taxpayers can save what amounts to $1 million for a couple of European visits by Vice President Biden. I mean, seriously, you know, you've got to be kidding me here. It's really kind of unbelievable. Oh, I don't know. What are you going to do? You know, hey, it's not their money. Why should they care? I mean, seriously, it's not their money. Why should they care? What was Biden doing over there anyway? Where did he stay when he went to Rome to meet the new Pope, Pope Francis? You know, obviously, if you have been paying any attention to anything at all during the last couple of weeks, there is a new Pope. But we do not have any confirmation that the Holy Father is going to be a weekly guest on Warrior Catholic with Chris Ricketts, right here on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, but we are working on it. Seriously, we are. Join Chris to talk about the week's news, the Catholic Church, and how Washington is impacting Christianity. And Chris is standing by for that phone call from the Holy See. The Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. You are in the right place. I hope you're avoiding the snow. I mean, the snow is just, it's awful out there. And I live in Delaware. We're getting snow right now. We're getting pasted. That's P-A-S-T-E-D. We are getting pasted. And I sincerely hope that it ends very, very soon. I'm pretty sure that it is going to. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, your phone calls, we're going to be chatting about a whole bunch of things. Maybe we'll pick up on Joe Biden again. Maybe I'll tell you some Joe Biden stories that I have known. You know, I've heard quite a bit of Joe Biden stories. I mean, I live in Delaware, you know. Everybody that lives in Delaware has heard Joe Biden stories. If you've lived here for any amount of time, Delaware is a small state. It's no question. Geopolitically, Delaware is the smallest state in the Union. Geographically, it's a little bit larger than Rhode Island. Politically, Rhode Island has more counties than Delaware does. Delaware has only three counties. The southernmost, Sussex County, is one of the largest counties east of the Mississippi River geographically. There's only a couple of hundred thousand of us living here, though, so, you know, we don't have an awful lot of very serious political clout, but, hey, you know, we do what we can do. Your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yeah, I agree, liberals. Why don't you, I like that phrase so much, I had to quote in there twice. I wonder what, you know, there is a very, very simple way to tell if some military, diplomatic, or trade action by the U.S. government is in our interests or is against our interests. If the liberals are against it, then it is in America's interests. If they're opposed to it, you better believe it is the right thing for our country. If they're out there protesting, you had better believe that this is something that we need to do as quickly as possible. If they are going on TV and explaining all these reasons why, whatever it is, America must do nothing, America can do nothing, America should do nothing, then you know it's in our favor. There's no question about it. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number. Thank you very much for being along this evening for Radio Free America. This is the ConservativeNationRadio.org radio network. We are now a seven-day-a-week operation here, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Starting Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, Robert Garding and the New Wise Conservatism will be on the air with us, so mark your calendar. Make sure that you are there for that, because Robert is a conservative, and he does a very, very good job. I'm really looking forward to working with Robert. I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun. Now then, what is not an awful lot of fun? Obviously, the $1 million that Joe Biden has spent just traveling to London and Paris. I mean, hey, listen, look, you can have an awful lot of fun in a place like Paris on $500,000. I can tell you very definitely. No question about it. So, however, I don't think that he was there to have fun. And I think that we need to keep a better purse strings on our on the taxpayers' money? I mean, don't you? I can't be alone. I can't be the only one that thinks that. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I would definitely love to hear from you. Now then, are you a fan of the TV show called The Amazing Race? Because I'm not. I have never watched it. I don't know anything about it. I think I watched like 2 or 3 minutes of it one time. And they showed these guys on mini bikes that were obviously Oriental guys, Asian dudes, and it was a very rugged kind of country. And I was just going up and down the dial. I had no idea what it was. I saw it, and for some reason I thought, I'll bet that's Mongolia. And sure enough, it was The Amazing Race, and sure enough, they were in Outer Mongolia or Inner Mongolia or something somewhere. But in any event, recently they had a show. In fact, it was on St. Patrick's Day. And this is from HuffPost TV. I don't want you to think that I'm like any big giant fan of HuffPost or anything. But it's, you know, it's very easy to spot where they're coming from. It's easy to get to their stuff. So, you know, I will sometimes skim that. But they did a show from their program, The Amazing Race in Vietnam. Quoting Huffington Post, the long-running and Emmy-winning reality series featured a B-52 memorial in Hanoi, Vietnam, that depicts a downed American plane from the Vietnam War. The contestants had to go to the memorial to find their next clue. John Hamilton, the commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, wrote an open letter to CBS President Les Moonves expressing the organization's anger over the episode. Quote, the scene with the B-52 wreckage could have been used to tell a story about what was then America's longest war, about the 58,195 American names on the Vietnam Wall, about the 1,652 Americans still listed as missing in action, or about the fates of the multiple crewmen aboard each of the 17 American B-52s we lost in combat, Hamilton wrote, quoting again, the B-52 scene, as well as the young people singing a propaganda song, was totally unnecessary to the show's plot, which speaks volumes about naive producers who think they're in charge when they are not. All right? I understand that. For the first couple of days, CBS said and did nothing. They just, you know, kind of stuck with it. Keep in mind, CBS and I think almost everybody in the networks during the Vietnam War was completely and totally in favor of the victory by the Vietnamese communists. Let's face it, that's what they want. That's what they wanted. They wanted the North Vietnamese to win. That's the deal. And that's why they were protesting in the streets here. They wanted us to pull out so that the North Vietnamese could simply, you know, basically run the board over there and win. That's what they had in mind. That's why they were protesting the war. Many of them didn't think that they were doing it for that reason, but they were. They didn't know any better. They literally did not know any better. They didn't think things through. They believed what their college professors and leftist high school teachers were telling them. They just, a lot of them simply didn't want to go and fight. I mean, I registered for the draft. The draft was ended. The active draft was ended right before I became old enough to go. And but I was registered, and if they had wanted me, they presumably would have called me, although my classification was 1H, which meant you can be called in the case of an actual national emergency. I wonder what kind of national emergency would take for them to call me today. I mean, I'm 57 and a half, right? You know, what could I do? I know what I could do. I could fly a helicopter or an airplane. Those are things that I can do. And if they called me and they said, we have a very serious emergency, we're very short on helicopter pilots, we need you, I would go. I would absolutely, even if I was going into combat, I would go. No question about it. So that's basically, but the, you know, the idea that CBS, the network of 60 Minutes and Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite, the idea that they would not be aware that the Vietnam War is still a very, very tough memory for an awful lot of people, and that there were, as mentioned, over 58,000 Americans who were killed in that war. We still have over 1,600 missing in action. And that the idea that they would send people to a to the impact site of a B-52, and that they would have their contestants participating in a Vietnamese communist propaganda song, I just find it to be absolutely intolerable. Amazing how anyone could be that insensitive. It boggles the mind. 718-305-7176. They did apologize, incidentally. They did apologize. Let me see here. Phil Keegan read a statement from the network at the start of yesterday's episode. Part of last Sunday's episode, filmed in Vietnam, were insensitive to a group that is very important to us, our nation's veterans. We want to apologize to veterans, particularly those who served in Vietnam, as well as to their families and any viewers who were offended by the broadcast. All of us here have the most profound respect for the men and women who fight for our country. You want to bet they do? I don't think so. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. In about 2.5 minutes, we're going to be going to a break at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we can chat. You know that we can chat. 718-305-7176 is the number. I guess I'm just confused by the fact that a major network like CBS would not – I mean, it's entirely possible that the people that put that show together – they may have been 2 years old at the end of the Vietnam War, and so it doesn't have any actual personal relevance to them. They may have not yet – that decision could have been made by a 30-year-old producer, which means he would have been born in 1982, which is 6 or 8 years after the – 8 years after the Vietnam War ended. And he may have not, it may have not even crossed his mind. However, people higher up at CBS, it should have crossed their minds. And I remember when I think it was NBC or maybe it was CBS, one night in the early 1970s, decided that they were going to read the names of every American that had been killed that week or that month in Nam, fighting Charlie. And a lot of people got very upset, and a lot of people began thinking, well, these casualties are simply too high for us to sustain, and maybe we ought to pull out of there. All right, now, flash forward to Operation Iraqi Freedom. And we went into Iraq to get rid of Saddam Hussein. I can't think of anybody that deserved it as much as he did. And NBC News decides that they're going to do the same thing. And this was only a couple of months after the war started, so obviously somebody there wanted us out. I will fill you in on what happened and what they said in a moment. We are going to take a break. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. It is 30 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being here. Stay right where you are. Your calls and more topics of the day are coming up, so stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Hello there. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. It is just 32 minutes after the hour now. Welcome back to Radio Free America. There are some folks in the chat room, a couple of people in there. Everyone is at free and complete liberty to call 718-305-7176. We were speaking a moment ago, you and I, about Vietnam and media and the Great Race and CBS, and those guys are idiots. Even Bob Beckel on The Five on Fox last week, I couldn't believe this. Bob Beckel was incensed, and he said, "You guys are now the communist bastard sympathizing network." I thought that was extremely interesting that he would, you know, refer to CBS in that way. And CBS has been around in radio and television, obviously, for, in radio for about 90 years now, 85 years, something like that. And in television since the very beginning. And I think that they, there's no question about it. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. CBS News is left of center. There's no question about it. They are left wingers, and you don't get to work there unless you're a left winger. You don't get to work at NBC unless you're a left winger, and you don't get to work anywhere in modern American commercial broadcasting, except Fox, unless you are a leftist. I mean, it's that simple. But a couple of months after Operation Iraqi Freedom kicked off, actually was ABC. It was at ABC, and they decided that one night they were going to air all the names of the Americans who had lost their lives that month or that week fighting in Iraq. And an ABC News producer had put out a statement beforehand that said in 1970, this network or another network read all the names of the Americans that had been killed that month in Vietnam, and opposition to that war began to ratchet up. What if we could have the same effect by doing the same thing here at ABC? Ted Koppel got involved somehow, and I forget exactly how he did. If you remember how Ted Koppel got involved in it, and I remember at one point he came out with a statement saying that he supported the war. I don't know whether he did or not, but I know that there were a lot of ABC News affiliates who were not going to air that segment from ABC News where they read the names of all the Americans that had been killed. And the statement from the ABC News producer made it painfully clear that their entire purpose of doing so was to try to get Americans opposed to the war, to try to end it so that Saddam Hussein could stay in power. Why they would want that, I don't know. I suspect that what they really wanted is they just like the idea of America losing. That's really what being a liberal is all about, isn't it? 718-305-7176. It's 35 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. I'm very glad that you're along this evening. The president, of course, was in Israel several days ago, and I really think that the president kind of stepped on it while he was there. He made some very, very just absurd statements. I saw one. Of course, it was covered live on a lot of the networks. However, he made one statement in which he said he attempted to draw some kind of a parallel between the existence and the safety of Israel that could not go on unless the Palestinians also had a secure state right next door, which frankly I think is absurd. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, that's sort of like the depth of absurdity. I've never heard anything as nuts as that. It's almost like saying if it's 1939 or 1940, early 1940, that the only way that France can possibly hope to survive is if there is a very strong and militarily together Germany on its eastern border. I mean, come on now. You know, it is just unbelievable where this guy is coming from and why. I have absolutely no clue what on earth what could he possibly mean by that? What could he possibly mean by the safety and security of Israel is linked with a strong, independent Palestinian state? I don't get it. If the Jordanians are now saying that they're spending $500,000 a day to take care of Syrian refugees, okay, that's nice of them. But the president, the same one that ordered that White House tours be eliminated because of the so-called sequester cuts, what did he do? He said that the United States would provide something like $500 million to help Jordan take care of the refugees coming in from Syria. It's unbelievable. And there was King Abdullah, who was the son of King Hussein of Jordan. King Abdullah's mom is an American whose name is Lisa Halaby. Her father was the president of Pan Am at one point. His name was Najib Halaby. And at another point, he was the commissioner of the Federal Aviation Administration. So he was definitely a guy that understood aviation, no question about it. And his daughter married the king of Jordan, King Hussein of Jordan. Now, I remember him. He spoke English fluently, as obviously his son does as well. And his son, King Abdullah, showed up on Star Trek, The Next Generation, many years ago when he was like 18 or 19 years old. He was a big fan of Star Trek. And they got the king, the future king, the prince of Jordan, I guess he was. I don't know what he was. I don't know anything about. You know, we're Americans. What do we know about royal succession? I'll tell you what I know about it. Nothing. In fact, what I don't know about royalty, you could almost squeeze into the Hollywood Bowl. But in any event, I digress. So he shows up on Star Trek, but there he was the other day, and he was saying that he is not a fan of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he said those guys are, you know, they're whacked and they're nuts and that kind of thing, and, you know, just speaking in almost American slang. And I came to the conclusion the guy is, he's probably an okay guy. His father, King Hussein of Jordan, was definitely a pretty good guy. Living in the neighborhood in which he lives, you know, that part of the world, the Middle East, I mean, he's got to be a guy who he's got to play both sides at once. I mean, there's no question about it. But the King of Jordan was widely known to be a pretty active ham radio operator. And he would make contact with amateur radio operators all over the world. And I don't know very much about ham radio. I wonder if Walt Palmer is listening. Maybe we ought to have Walt Palmer on at some point soon. Walt Palmer is a great guy. Walt was one of the videographers who was present at the time that John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan. Walt was standing right there. I've got pictures to prove it. And Walt knows more about amateur radio and ham, what's known as ham, than I guess anybody does. He's quite an expert. And I mentioned to him, you know, that the late King Hussein of Jordan was a big ham radio guy, and he said, "Oh yeah, I know a lot of guys that have worked. They call it working when you make contact with another amateur radio operator. That is called working that person, and they have cards that they print up and they mail out to each other, and people stay in touch that way. And apparently, King Hussein of Jordan was very big into that. And I got to be honest with you, I think that's pretty cool. Not really sure I think anything else about Jordan is all that cool, but I digress. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? They're not, you know, they're like not exactly our friends, but they're not exactly our enemies. Anyway, 18 minutes now before the top of the hour. You know, we're conservatives here. You know we are. I hope you are too. And we conservatives respect pioneers. We always have. And my buddy Brenda Ward has been on the air with us at conservativenationradio.org since way back when, as they say, since day number one. And Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, Monica Crowley, they have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Rolls out Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and it is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots, so let your voice be heard. Incidentally, you conservative guys, you're welcome at our very own B&B as well. That's Brenda and Barbara. I don't want you to think we're running some kind of an accommodation or a hostelry or anything, because we're not. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So I am very, very happy to pass that along. We are chatting, you and I, here at Radio Free America, and the number is 715-705-7176. We are just kind of shooting the breeze here. Terrible weather here in Delaware. There's not very much that can be done about that. As a matter of fact, absolutely nothing can be done about that. And it's just one of those things you kind of have to deal with. I knew the snow would come as soon as last weekend when I put the snow shovel, the plow, the, you know, all that winter-related stuff, I put it away. I locked it away. I'm thinking, we're not going to need this again until after Thanksgiving. Sure enough, wash your car, it rains, right? Light a cigarette, the bus comes. Who knows? You know, you put away your winter landscaping equipment, your shovels, your blowers, your scrapers, your rocks, all that stuff, put it away, boom, that's what happens. But this is going to be, you know, whatever snow there is on the ground will be gone by this time tomorrow, which is, of course, that is a very, very, very good thing. You know, the conservativenationradio.org, that is us, we are very proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, and you know that's LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's our website, conservativenationradio.org, and just click on the LifeLock banner. I can guarantee you, you will be very, very glad that you did. About 14 minutes now before the top of the hour, let's take a break. More of your calls are coming up. Stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and...
Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew!
Wait.
Wait.
Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold
What'd
on.
What'd you say? Wait a second, huh?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Hi there. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. This is the Electric Light Orchestra and Above the Clouds. I am a huge ELO fan. And at 6'2" and 240, that's, anyway. 718-305-7176 is the number. 11 minutes now before the top of the hour. Welcome to Monday night, everybody. A cold, windy, rainy, snowy Monday here in the Mid-Atlantic, here in Sussex County, Delaware, just a stone's throw from the Atlantic Ocean. But I'm optimistic it will all be gone by this time tomorrow. And to make matters even more interesting, I mean, if it snows any time after next Monday, if it snows in April down here, I will be surprised. I will be very surprised. Now, Syracuse, New York, where I lived for 11 years, that's different. They don't have any snow in Syracuse. They have lake effect, and that's different. But it would begin snowing in early October, and you would still be getting snow in Syracuse during the second week in April. That's just the way it is up there. Very, very cold, very snowy, wet, rainy. The city itself, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I lived there for 11 years. I often thought to myself, nobody ever hated this place as much as I did, but nobody ever loved it as much as I did either. I mean, I just feel it was just one of those places that it had equal amounts of good and bad, and depending upon what side of the bed I woke up in the morning was what my outlook was. That's just the way things are. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. And if you're one of the inmates, you are at free and complete liberty to call in and run this particular asylum. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Now then, this is also from Huffington Post. And again, I just thought this was kind of interesting. This is, I have never watched a show called, it's on the Learning Channel apparently, called The Next Great Baker. And this was some lady from Vermont. I never saw it. She says that it portrayed her character in that show in a negative light. Quote, I can never repair what TLC did to my reputation, said baker Gretel Ann Fisher, who appeared on the TLC show The Next Great Baker. She closed her financially troubled Vermont bakery on Saturday, citing the show's negative portrayal of her character as one reason. Quote, I lost contracts, a lot of business, said Fisher, who opened Cups Cafe and Bakery with her husband in 2002 in Winooski, Vermont. Fisher did not immediately respond to an emailed request for comment by the Huffington Post. All right, well, you know, the trouble with TLC dates back to the finale of the show's third season, which showed Fisher sabotaging her competition by turning up the heat on her rivals' ovens by 50 degrees in order to win. Each contestant had to bake and sell 400 cookies, 100 pastries, 10 cakes, and 10 pies under a tight deadline. Quote, I just knocked out a good percentage of her profits right there, unquote, said a smiling Fisher when a rival baker discovered the plot. Quote, apparently everyone else doesn't realize this is a competition, unquote. Fisher's cake finished in second place. After the episode aired in February, fans raged against her behavior on the show on Facebook, Twitter, and the store's blog. Wow, hiding sheet pans and turning up the oven to try and sabotage the other two ladies? I bet she would have screamed foul had one of them did that to her. Well, I didn't write this, so there you go. That's the end of English grammar. It's pretty much out the window. I guess I'm not really sure what this says. I don't know if this means that the entire concept of morals and ethics are out the window in our country. I kind of hope not. I think that, you know, our people ultimately are better than that. In general, there's always going to be someone who is going to have very serious ethical challenges, and there's always going to be somebody that is going to cheat or try to sabotage the enemy. That's what, you know, the competition, one of those things. However, I hope that we see less and less of that. You know, what do you think? 718-305-7176. And I would love to know what people think about this. It's now getting to the point that you almost can't, people are just going to cheat. It is getting really, really bizarre. We've got 4.5 minutes before the top of the hour. We will then be taking care of some business, and then hour number two will begin. I'll bet you can't wait for that. Thanks very much for being along tonight for Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. The president's statements in Israel the other day, cryptic, almost inscrutable, one just has no idea what he really thinks. Well, actually, I think it's pretty clear what the guy really thinks. He doesn't like our country. I mean, seriously, I can't be the only one that thinks that. You know, you got to judge someone by their actions, not by what they say. Those are completely different things. And I can tell you definitely, it seems very, very clear that this fellow really does not put the obvious best interests of the United States ahead of everything else. I mean, that should be very, very clear. It's obvious he doesn't like our allies. I don't think he really likes any of the Western European and Central European countries. He just doesn't like them. And for that reason, it is unbelievable the guy got reelected. I mean, seriously, he got reelected. Now, was there voting fraud in that? Of course there was. The Democrats do that all the time. They've been doing it for 150 or 200 years. That is simply what they do. And yes, there was voting fraud. You cannot possibly have a voting district in this country that goes unanimously over thousands and thousands of registered. It's simply, statistically, it just can't happen. But there were, and the Republicans didn't really call them on it, and they should have. I don't really know why the GOP did not. I might be able to find out the end of next month, though, because the Delaware Republican Party is having its convention, and Linda and I, my girlfriend Linda, with whom I live, is the secretary of our county Republican committee. I am the communication director, and I also hold an election district committee man elected position. But Linda is a member of the county rules committee, and she is a member of the rules committee for the convention. And she and I are both delegates to the convention. So I'm going to ask, I'm just going to say, hey, how come we didn't challenge some of those South Philadelphia and Ohio ballots? I suspect that Reince Priebus will be there. I think he probably will be. And I know the chairman. I've met him. And he's always been a very nice guy to me, no question about it. But I want to know, I want to know what we did about it, if anything. And if we didn't do anything, I want to know why we didn't do anything. So I'll find out by the end of April, and I will give you a full report at that time. 718-305-7176. We've got 2 minutes until the top of the hour. That means there's more than enough time for you to call in and vent your, I was going to say spleen, but I think that's one of those phrases that's kind of out of favor. At least it's no longer being as widely used. There were great phrases and idioms in the English language and in American English years ago that people simply are not using anymore. One of them is this comment, what do you want, egg in your beer? I mean, I think that apparently over 100 years ago, egg in your beer was something that was considered a luxury, I guess. I'm not really sure. I don't drink beer. I actually had half of a Guinness extra stout yesterday. And when we come back from the break at the top of the hour, I will explain to you exactly why that was. I had half of one. The other half went into the stew. And this is a fabulous beef stew recipe, and it's actually pretty easy. But in any event, I didn't really much like it. Linda didn't want to drink it. I'm not really sure why. She just didn't want to drink it. Linda's got a cold right now, unfortunately. If you've got a good cold remedy or cold cure, you can give me a shout at 718-305-7176. I would love to hear what you've got if you've got any good ideas about getting rid of the common cold. And we'll talk about the beef stew recipe and Guinness Stout and other things culinary and alcoholic. On the other side of this break, it is 1 hour. It's the top of the hour. Stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive. And don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there. Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. You are listening to ConservativeNationRadio.org, where the phone number is 718-305-7176. Very glad that you could make it tonight. It's Monday. What a way to start the week, huh? So anyway, I mentioned a few minutes ago, I often say to people, the last time I drank a beer, Jimmy Carter was president of the United States. I didn't like it then. I'm not going to like it now. And that is, basically that is a true statement. I think at some point in senior year of college, and I just don't like beer. I just don't like it. Sorry. Anyway, I got hold of a recipe for beef stew. And basically, you get a couple of pounds of cubed stew beef. You're going to saute that in olive oil. You are then going to take two cups, which I think is a pint, of Guinness Extra Stout, and put that in the bottom of your slow cooker, and you put in a can of tomato paste. And then you're going to get a hold of a couple of onions and cut those up and put those in there, and then pour that beef in there. You save the drink, you don't drain it. You put everything in. The recipe called for rutabaga, and frankly, just the name rutabaga sounds to me like it would be silly, but it's not. A rutabaga is a turnip. It's known as a yellow turnip. It's and it's got a very mild, somewhat sweet flavor to it. Rutabaga, and you put in carrots, and you put in 8 sprigs of thyme, which are tied together, and you put in a couple of parsnips. How many people today eat parsnips? I mean, they had like 3 of them at the market. So a lot more lettuce is consumed than parsnips, can tell you that. And I really had no idea what a parsnip was. A parsnip, very, very closely related to carrots. They have the same general shape. They are lighter in color. They taste mild, like probably a little better tasting than a carrot. But anyway, the beef, the beer, the tomato paste, some rutabaga, some parsnips, some carrots, some onion, some thyme, salt and pepper. You put that in the slow cooker, and we gave it about 6 hours. And let me tell you, it was beautiful. It was delicious. I'm a big fan of cooking. I love to cook. I absolutely love it. I make the best chili in the whole world. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. We've got a we have a president who is not really that much of a president, and I suspect that you may agree with me on that, and I hope that you do. It is one, in America, anybody can become president, which is one of the risks you take. You know, it's that simple. If people actually voted for this guy, which they did, you've got to wonder why there are so many low information voters in the country. There are an awful lot of people that have been, I think, brainwashed by our education system. You know, I really do. For instance, let me give you an example, also from HuffPost, from the celebrity column. This is about Lindsay Lohan. This is apparently one of the most important stories that they cover, is Lindsay Lohan. I think I've only seen her in one movie, and then it was like 3 minutes. Lindsay Lohan should continue to savor these final moments of freedom, as it looks like jail time is becoming more of a reality. We already knew Lohan wouldn't be able to complete her court-ordered 90-day rehab stint because no New York clinics offer a lockdown situation, which was part of her plea bargain. Now TMZ is reporting that no such rehab facility exists across the U.S. Quote, there is no rehab that will hold you against your will unless they feel the person is a suicide risk, and in that case, they can hold the individual for 72 hours, Dr. Drew Pinsky, host of Celebrity Rehab, reportedly told TMZ. Sources say that Lohan's prosecution believed a lockdown rehab facility was a possibility as a substitution for her initial 90-day jail sentence. Sources with ties to the case reportedly told TMZ that Lohan's lawyer, Mark Heller, confirmed he could get her into such a facility. Because the 26-year-old actress has a history of fleeing from rehab, a la Ohio Cirque Lodge in 2007 and California's Betty Ford Clinic in 2010, it seems questionable as to whether a typical program would be sufficient. Prosecutors are reportedly reevaluating to determine the best solution moving forward, with jail time remaining an option. Let's see what Lindsay can do to try to get out of this one. In the meantime, we'll just leave her to her new boyfriend and continue partying. You know, I've got to be honest with you. I guess I just don't really understand what the deal is with this chick. You know, I have no idea. I don't know what movies that she has been in or has not been in. You know, I really don't know anything about her. All I know is that media obviously finds her to be about the most fascinating human being in the entire world, because they give her so much coverage. And she gets that coverage because of her bad behavior. That's what draws people's attention. Good behavior does not. Bad behavior draws the attention of people in the media that sit around and write about this stuff as if, A, it matters, and B, anybody with an actual life is interested. I find it to be shocking. I heard that Lindsay Lohan had been in Playboy. I have not seen a copy of Playboy in probably 3 years or something. not really sure I want to. You know, I think the last time I saw a copy of it would have been at some point, maybe in early 2009. Is that about right? And I think I was down at Randy's house in Pocomoke City, Maryland, which is not very far from where I keep my airplane. Did you know I have an I actually have an airplane. Randy has been subscribing to Playboy since he was about 11 or 12. He's a great guy, but he's sick. Okay. And I picked it up. Hey, I'm a normal guy. I like good-looking chicks, especially if they have no clothing on. In any event, I picked it up, and I looked through it. And I wanted to put it, and I did put it down after a minute or so, because the girls in it all looked so young. I mean, it almost seemed like it was kiddie porn. I mean, obviously, Playboy, you know, that's kind of like they're not going to do anything illegal. They're not going to have anybody in their magazine that is under the age of probably 19. They're not going to do anything like that, that's for sure. But they, from my perspective now, I mean, some of these chicks were like, you know, 38 years younger than I was at the time. Pretty unbelievable. They just looked too young. Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you. They just looked too young. 718-305-7176. I mean, what on earth would somebody of my age talk to about with one of those, you know, 19, 20-year-old girls? They look great, no question. But what on earth would, you know, what would the conversation be like? Would I even know most of the words that they are using? I kind of don't think so. I mean, what do these kids today talk about anyway? In any event, it is just about 12 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, one thing, we're very pleased here at conservativenationradio.org about some of the great shows that we have on the air. And I want to remind you to just basically make a note, make sure to join former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee on The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch. It's Thursdays right here at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. The chances are good that you have seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He is the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. The liberals can't stand him because he's right. That alone means that he fits right in here. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We are coming up now on, we are at 13 minutes after the top of the hour. Thanks very much for being along. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Very glad that you could join us. I guess I just can't get over this Lindsay Lohan thing. I have no idea. You know, most coverage today in the news, instead of being about newsworthy events, it is normally about just celebrities behaving bad. That's pretty much the deal, you know? And I just don't get it. There must be something that we can do to cover things other than this. I mean, I've got something that maybe should be done. Maybe we should cover the fact that the North Korean dictator is threatening to fire nuclear weapons at the United States. This is something that very clearly the Obama administration didn't think was going to be a big deal, but as soon as the Korean nutjob started saying that he reserves the right to, you know, strike the U.S. with nuclear weapons, the Obama administration somewhat quietly began deploying additional interceptor missiles in Alaska, which is exactly what they should have done 3 or 4 years ago. It's going to cost a lot more money now, but it's better that that money be spent on anti-missile technology. You know, the same anti-missile technology that 25 years ago all of Obama's friends were saying, this can never work. You remember when the so-called Star Wars initiative first became widely known, and the liberals were saying, this is something that can never physically work. It's not technologically possible. It is impossible. We must not do it. It might offend the Soviet Union and all that kind of stuff. That's what they were doing. But now, the most liberal leftist anti-American president in history is deploying them in case the North Koreans misbehave. Anyway, it's about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Quick break. More of your calls coming up, as well as the Civil War history segment. I know most people are just hanging in there for that. Common Sense with Kevin Wade coming up in about 25 minutes. You're not going to want to miss that. Stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number three, rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Cuckoo-ca-tube. We are the Eggmen. Hi there. 19 minutes after the hour, Duke Brooks here. Thanks a lot for being along for this edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Of course, the Beatles there, and I Am the Walrus. I think when that song came out around 1967, when I was in about the seventh grade or something, I really didn't like it very much at all. But it has kind of grown on me. As a matter of fact, I now think it is one of the best songs that the Beatles ever did. Not really sure if other people share my view. They probably don't. I think that I had always wanted, you know, before poor John Lennon got shot, and frankly, there was no, absolutely no reason for that whatsoever. Mark David Chapman was an insane berserker. I hope he never gets out. He has been in prison for 30 years, and frankly, I think that he should die in there. Actually, they should have executed him. Sorry, you know, you don't get to go around killing people in cold blood just because they're a famous rock and roller. I just don't get it. I don't get it. But I'd always thought that if the Beatles had ever done a full-scale reunion concert at like Madison Square Garden or something, that ideally I Am the Walrus should have been their first song. Of course, that's no longer possible now that John and George are both gone. It's a real bummer. We'll never have a Beatles reunion concert. It's, you know, it's sad. It's sad. I'm a huge Beatles fan, quite obviously. Now then, it's about 21 minutes after the hour, and you know what this means. It's time for, on this day in Civil War history, 150 years ago, we were in the spring of 1863, and March 25th was a Wednesday. This is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. and Barbara Long. And on March 25th, Wednesday, 1863, there was more fighting on Black Bayou as the Federal expedition on Steele's Bayou continued to bog down. Not really sure where that is. I'll have to check into that. Two Federal rams attempted to run the Vicksburg batteries from north to south. The Lancaster was struck some 30 times, sank with most of its crew escaping. The Switzerland, badly disabled, floated down out of firing range. A ram is an ironclad ship that is designed to, and this will come as a shock, it's designed to ram other ships. That's why it's called a ram. The Union had three kinds of ironclads during the Civil War. Ships of the line that had been casemated with iron, rams, which I just described, and monitors. The monitor was the world's first turreted warship. Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest raided Brentwood and Franklin, Tennessee. There was skirmishing at Jacksonville, Virginia, an affair at Norfolk, Virginia, skirmishing near Louisa, Kentucky, and a federal expedition from Belle Plaine into Westmoreland County, Virginia. General Burnside, the former commander of the Army of the Potomac, superseded Major General Horatio G. Wright in command of the Department of the Ohio. Federal monitors were reported leaving Hilton Head for Charleston Harbor, that in South Carolina. Within about 5 weeks, we will be discussing the Battle of Chancellorsville, which took place in May of 1863. It was a pivotal battle for a variety of reasons. As I mentioned earlier, it was a tremendous victory for General Robert E. Lee against the Union General Joe Hooker, who had occupied the hotel at Chancellor's Crossroads in Virginia, west of Salem Church and west of Fredericksburg. I've spent some time in Fredericksburg. There's a college there called Mary Washington College, which I believe was built on the land owned by General Washington's wife's family. I think that's correct, but I don't know. But Fredericksburg is a very, very nice place. It's right on I-95. On the other side of I-95, on the other side of the Rappahannock River, this very historical area, is a little town called Falmouth, which they have a Hard Times Cafe there. And if you like chili, I'll be honest with you, the Hard Times Cafe is, without question, that is the place. They make pretty good chili. Compared to mine, it's eh, but it's not bad. I mean, it'll do in a pinch. Anyway, the number here is 718-305-7176. I see that someone named Robert the Infidel has joined the chat room. Robert, you're at free and complete liberty to call in, by the way, at 718-305-7176. I see my good friend Barbara Buffing is in the chat. We'll be hearing from Barbara in a little less than half an hour. She's going to be calling in at about 10 minutes before the top of the hour to give us an update on what will be happening tomorrow night on Women Patriots. I mentioned it earlier. Always interesting. Those two ladies do more work, and they get more people on their show. They're constantly arranging for good guests and things like that. Now, speaking of guests, next week, next Monday, baseball season is almost here, and during the summertime, I am known to all of my friends and everyone really as Mr. Baseball. No, not really. But I'm a big fan of the Orioles, and I will be watching as many of their games this year as I possibly can. I'm hoping maybe I'll be able to get up there to Baltimore and maybe get to a game or two this year. That will be wonderful. Might have a trip coming up to Texas. Might actually have a trip coming up to Texas at some point soon. That would be wonderful. But we'll see. I'll know more tomorrow. I mentioned Kevin Wade earlier. He and I are working on a project. We're going to be hearing Common Sense with Kevin Wade coming up in about the next 20 minutes or so. So, stay tuned for that. He always has a great take on things. And Kevin and I are trying to get this daily radio feature. We're trying to get this nationally syndicated, and this is something that we're working on, and that's the reason why I may have to go down to Texas, but we'll see. 26 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718. Wonder why I keep, this is the second time tonight I've done this. Given out the Syracuse, New York area code. I'm not really sure why that is, but the number is 718-305-7176. That number is located in White Plains, New York. White Plains is just up the Hudson River from Yonkers, and Yonkers is just up the Hudson River from a point of land called Spite and Dival, and that is just up the Hudson River from Harlem. And then as you go south, Manhattan, and then finally where the World Trade Center used to be until the Mohammedans deprived us of it. And we didn't even do anything about it. I can't be the only one that thinks that. We didn't do anything about it. What did we do? We rearranged some caves in Afghanistan. Yeah, we killed a bunch of Afghans, but so what? And finally, they took out bin Laden. Incidentally, speaking of bin Laden, I saw the film Zero Dark Thirty the other day. And, it's there's no question. Catherine Bigelow is a very good film director. No question about it. She knows how to make good film. No question. But I think, there were so many things at bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, in May of 2011. And most of it took place at night. I get that. I understand that. But I wish Hollywood would have a better way of photographing things at night so that it sounds better. It looks better. It's just a question of the fact that you really can't see very much of what is going on. How can you? You can't see what's going on. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the action was missed. I a lot of things that happened, you just couldn't see all that well. Now, there is a lot of controversy surrounding this movie. Incidentally, if you have seen the film, or even if you haven't, you're curious about it, give me a call, 305-717-6. We do have a hard break coming up in 15 seconds, so, but you can call and I'll answer and we can talk about it after the break. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Stay right where you are. More of your calls and more chat coming up.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Hi there. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Those, of course, the Carpenters. Today was a rainy day and a Monday where I live. I don't know about you. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, Duke.
Hello there.
Yes, Greg in the West Coast here. Am I on live
Greg?
Now?
Greg, buddy, what's going on, pal?
I got a terrible cold. I'm a tour guide, so this is not a good thing for a tour guide to have. But I thought I'd give it a shot and see what voice I had left. And so, hello, how are you doing? What's happening? What do you want to talk about?
I'm doing fine. I'm very, very happy to hear from you, buddy. What's going on out there in San Francisco?
Well, the usual stuff. California's broke. They don't care. The liberals are taking over, and the country's going nuts over unconstitutional gun laws. And I was just reading about too much disability money being spent, and there's just a lot of things happening. I guess the biggest one right now is probably Proposition 8. I don't know if you've been talking about that much this evening, but the way the liberals phrase it, they call it a ban on gay marriage. When nothing could be further from the truth, all we're doing is reaffirming marriage. And I think the language gets in the way all the time of people, and they get so caught up in the left language, and they forget to use proper language. So what we're trying to do in California is maintain marriage as it has always been, maintain the legal definition of marriage, not stop any two people who want to get together. We're not doing that. But just that in the law and recognized in our society and culture, the word marriage means a man and a woman, and any other relationship, simply because it's different, has to have a different name. So that's how we're taking it out here.
Well, the thing that I found to be the most absurd about that entire thing, I mean, it was a comedy. If it wasn't so sad, Greg, it would be almost funny. And that is that the voters of the state decided to codify and reaffirm an institution that is not mentioned even one time in the Constitution. Not once. Marriage, wedding, matrimony, those words do not appear anywhere in the U.S. Constitution. The voters of California... Huh?
They don't have to appear in the Constitution. That was never a federal government
jurisdiction. No, but here's my question. I don't understand why a federal judge was basically appealed to overturn completely the will of the voters, and that federal judge was gay. Now, the last time I looked, if you are deciding a case, you are not allowed to have any clear and obvious conflict of interest in the case. But I guess in the case of judges that are gay, that doesn't apply.
No, actually, I think you'd be surprised, because in the San Francisco Bay Area, I know a lot of gay people. And it's interesting when you talk about marriage. There are folks I know that are gay that are not in favor of a, quote, gay marriage, that they recognize that this is a difference. You know, so being gay is not a disqualifier for this issue. Being biased is. Okay? So if you're a judge and you're biased towards one side of this, you can't rule on it. And so a gay judge who is a gay advocate for gay marriage obviously can't rule on it, but that's what happened. So let's go back to the history a little tiny bit here. First of all, this was a proposition, and it won. And so marriage, the definition of marriage, is preserved as is and would not be adulterated by a, you know, popular fad. And then the folks that were against that found a judge to overturn it. And so then we went back to the voters again, and it passed again, and that's Proposition 8. And so once again, the voters said that the definition of marriage should remain as it is. But the way it's phrased all the time is what drives me crazy, because they keep saying a ban on gay marriage. Well, to say that, you have to acknowledge that such a thing as a gay marriage exists. Now, gay unions exist, but it's not a marriage because it's a different relationship. So all we have to do to straighten this out, I think, is to make the law such that a union, a gay union, just called a union, is recognized as a different relationship. It has all the privileges, I think, or almost all, of marriage, but it's not. And we recognize that difference and maintain that difference in the law. And to get to the Supreme Court, I'm not sure why it has to go there, except that it's being charged as a civil rights violation. So, but the question is marriage a civil right, or is it a contract between God and the state and everybody getting involved with this between two people? And if it's between two people, it's not a right. It's a contract.
That is correct.
So that's what civil right gets screwed up. So what's your take on all this?
Well, my take is very much the same as yours, and that is, number one, I start with the idea that marriage is not a right. The reason it is not a right is that it requires the willing participation of another person, and it requires the permission of the state. And when you've got both of those things going, that's not a right. I don't need the participation of another person, and I don't need the permission of the state to speak my mind, to exercise my rights under the First Amendment. Likewise, going to church, same thing. I don't need somebody else's permission to do that. And for that reason, marriage itself is not a right. Marriage is an institution. It is the right thing for some people. It's not the right thing for everybody. I am delighted to live with your old college buddy, Linda. I don't think that marriage is the right thing for either one of us, but we love each other. We are here. We are together. We're going to remain that way. And I can't, I think that when people say the marriage laws are anti-gay and they're set up to discriminate, the fact of the matter is they are there to encourage the formation of the basic central societal institutional building block of Western society, which is the married couple and the family. And that's why they're there. And if they discriminate against anybody, they discriminate against people that are not married. And that would include me and Linda. And that's the way it is, and that's fine. If you don't want to get married, don't get married. If you don't want to marry, if you're a guy and you want to marry another guy, I'm really sorry. You're free and complete liberty to form a completely a committed and loving relationship. You can do that outside of marriage. You don't need the state's permission to do that.
No, and we have folks that they'll call themselves married, and as far as I'm concerned, people can call themselves whatever they want. There was a a talk I heard by Mark Davis, a talk show host down in Texas. They really put it very, very clearly. And this is what I'm talking about. There's a split between what is legal under the law and what people want to call themselves. If people want to call themselves married, I don't care. And I think one of the traps that, that conservatives fall into is that we get labeled as being anti, you know, gay people getting together. Nobody, well, for the most part, I'm sure some people do, but that's a prejudice. That's different. But for the most part, mainstream conservatives don't care. All we want to do is maintain the relationships as separate and distinct, and that a marriage is a particular, unique, as you said, building block of society. It should be encouraged. I think the taxes don't always work out as well for married couples sometimes. I'm not sure where that stands. But we encourage this, as history has proven, not just in our country, but in countries throughout the world, in religions throughout the world, that the basic building block, imperfect as it is a man and a woman forming a family. And then the extended family goes from there, and then the community, the neighborhood, the, you know, the city, the state, the country. You know, and we use that as a building block. But don't fall into the trap of saying that we're preventing people from getting together. No, we're just maintaining a traditional legal definition because words mean things. And if you change the meanings of words, you change our country, you change our culture, you change everything. Because how else can we describe relationships if we don't use the exact words for them? And marriage is a particular institution, and a gay union is just a different one, that's all.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that, you know, as I mentioned, the idea of changing the definition of marriage is a wrongful idea. You know, when a society, a country, a nation state, an empire, whatever you want to call it, begins turning its back on the central concepts that have defined it and on the central institutions, on its own language, that civilization has very, very little time left. This is what happened with the Egyptians. It's what happened with the Greeks, the Romans, the Brits have been doing this for a long time. We are now flirting with it, more than flirting with it. And, Greg, I'm just not really super happy about this. You know, I'm just not. I think that we need to rediscover our roots and hold them.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do with my conservative news show, Penglis Online News, is just present the news in a conservative fashion and make that appear perfectly normal in a calm voice, talking about how the graduate income tax is unconstitutional because of the 14th Amendment, and have that be a normal thought, or have it be a normal thought that states need to have federal highway funds withheld until they're in compliance with the Second Amendment. That should just be a normal thing. Or all the other stuff going on, like Obamacare shouldn't even exist because it's not constitutional. Why are we even talking about this? Why don't we just get rid of it and move on, you know, to get our freedom back? And so we need to start thinking about, you know, being on the offensive and being positive and thinking that our way is normal, not the aberration, because the liberal world has convinced conservatives to always be on the defensive, to always have to, you know, report our position. It's like their position is the normal one, and the deviation is us. Whereas what we need to do psychologically is reverse that, so that we are the normal, we are the established, we are the religious, you know, this is what works in society, and just sort of present our arguments from there. And you defend your socialism, and you defend your economic system, and you defend your education. And really, if we start going it that way, you know, and just stand your ground and be confident, then the whole arguments are going to change. But that's what I do see, though, and this is something I want to talk to you about now, is that the country is going to self-segregate. It's going to be, we're going to have conservative states and liberal states, and there will be very dramatic differences between them. There will be places where you can carry a gun openly and places where you'll be arrested for it. There will be places where you can go to private school easily to start a business, to do what you want with your own property, and there will be places where you have to go to a government school, get permission to do anything with your property, and all the other stuff that comes with socialism. But it's going to be very dramatic as time goes on. I think we'll see in our lifetime that there will be free states and there will be socialist states, and that's just the way it's going to go.
Well, I think that there's a good chance that you're right about that, Greg, actually. And, you know, the socialist states are going to be – I mean, I, you know, last November I was kind of openly advocating for the Republican Party in Delaware to just simply close up shop, not run any candidates, let the Democrats take over the state, let them build the kind of society that they want to build, and then we can all move out and watch it collapse. Because it will collapse, because whenever socialist governments, collectivist governments, Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist, communist, socialist governments, all of those governments are based ultimately on the idea that they have figured out a way around the laws of supply and demand. And you cannot figure out a way around the laws of supply and demand, just like you cannot figure out a way around the laws of physics. Can't be done.
Here's the problem, though, Duke.
Huh?
The problem is that as we do this, the states that will have the supply are the capitalist free states, and the states that will have the demand are the socialist states. And so they're going to, if they have the votes, the socialist states will demand the profits and the surplus and the wealth of the capitalist states who generated it, and then everybody comes down.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of other, that's obviously, of course they will. There are a couple of other problems that I see on the horizon, not the least of which is the idea that I think within 50 years, maybe within 25, probably New Mexico and possibly Arizona will secede from the Union without a shot being fired. And they will become...
Why would they do that?
Because within 25 years, the majority of people in those states will either be first generation or second generation Mexicans. They will not speak English. They will have no interest in learning English. And they will elect other people born in Mexico to the state legislatures. And the state legislatures will vote to secede from the Union to either become part of Mexico or to be an independent Spanish-speaking country. And anybody that opposes it will be called a racist. And that will shut them up, and that will be the end of it. And the U.S. Congress will say, okay, Arizona and New Mexico, you can leave. You can leave. We will remove all United States buildings, employees, and military installations from those two states, and the border now runs around them, not under them. And
yeah,
this is
happening.
Something that I think is going to happen. I think it is.
No, I don't think so. The whole point of the Civil War was that the states would not be seceding. I mean, they talk about it all the time. But what we really need is an education program where people come in. The biggest problem is illegal aliens. I mean, I do believe in deportation. And we can talk about why children that were brought here as children, once they become adults, are now responsible for themselves and should also be deployed with their parents, but that's another issue. But the thing is, and then come back legally. I mean, I don't have any problem applying, coming back, but there's no reason for someone else to jump in front of legal applicants out there. We need to reverse the trend where immigrants come here to bring their own country here, as opposed to immigrants who came here to be Americans.
The biggest thing
we need to do, and the Tea Party needs to do this, is to change the interpretation back to the original interpretation of the 14th Amendment, which says you're not a citizen unless, you're born here and also subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So people who are born here illegally are not subject to the U.S. jurisdiction, which is in the 14th Amendment. They're subject to the jurisdiction of the country where the parents are citizens. So we need to stop granting citizenship automatically to people who are born here and using the 14th Amendment as an excuse because it doesn't authorize it. That's one point. Another point I want to mention before my voice gets out here is the fact that the best thing that could happen to this country would be for the Republican Party to dissolve and go away. And what I mean is that the conservatives then form a real, genuine conservative party, hopefully led by Newt Gingrich, and that the Republican establishment goes where they belong, to the Democrat Party. So if we had a Democrat and a conservative party, no Republican living a schizophrenic split life, we'd actually have a real choice. And I think we'd have a much better election, and we could stop a lot of this nonsense of this split party just causing all the problems. Because in the next election, they're going to have a Chris Christie or a Jeb Bush or someone else, a moderate, whose sole job is to make sure that a conservative doesn't win the nomination.
Well, that's probably exactly what they are looking to do. I know that you were not at CPAC.
No.
I was. It was extremely interesting. I did speak with Newt Gingrich there. I did speak with Alan West. And
I
it was
have been there.
Yeah, you should have been there. Yeah, Sarah Palin was there. It was a tremendously interesting Phyllis Schlafly. You know, it was just a tremendously interesting time, and I loved every moment
of
it.
Send them my videos. I need to get some exposure out here.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think CNR, Conservative Nation Radio, is going to be there next year. And it will be in early March next year. And, you know, I think that there's certainly a way for us to get Penglis on online news out there on the ether then.
Oh, that'd be great, because I'll have a ton more ideas. In fact, one of the things I'm drafting now, and I'll have this to you as soon as I issue it, is an entire new Tea Party-type platform for the next election. Things that nobody's even thinking about right now, like changing the tax system so it's all local. Okay, can you imagine that if local taxes were the only taxes out there? All right, the local then gives money to the county, county gives money to the state gives money to the federal government. So there's no direct taxation at all. Another thing I was thinking of is that the states take all the federal land within their jurisdiction, within their state, except for the borders in the District of Columbia. Everything goes back to state land. Okay, federal officers and police cannot carry guns in places where the citizens can't carry them. You know, private property is actually private. You know,
I agree.
A ton of things. You know, so I'm gonna have this out here fairly soon, but I've got just a bunch of new ideas that I think will be kind of interesting to do, and so you'll see it. You know, see it.
Are you
going
to be
soon.
Able to join us next Monday? Do you think?
Don't know.
Okay.
I should have been working today. But I don't,
okay.
You know, it just depends. Probably not, but I love doing this. This is fun. And for my listeners out there, if you want to check out my videos, it's Penglis Online News on YouTube. That's Penglis Online News. And I've got a couple out there, one Second Amendment, one on economic issues, with more to follow. As I've got immigration special I'm working on, I've got a bunch of different topics. And it's just information beyond even what the alternative media is putting out, because it's full of new ideas and new ways of looking at the issues.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for calling in, pal. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, too. Keep up the good work out there.
All right, buddy. You, too. Thanks a lot. All right. Now, then, I am going to bring you Common Sense with Kevin Wade. Then we're going to be speaking with Barbara. So you stay right where you are.
Many Americans today believe that the defining obligation of government is to provide cash, food, medicine, and housing to its citizens. Of course, as Abraham Lincoln said, it is a mistake to think that government can give something to one person without first taking from another. America has always been a land of plenty, and it will remain so as long as free enterprise defines the work of our economy. Common sense conservatives believe in a safety net for our fellow citizens, but not in a hammock. Government's primary obligation after upholding our Constitution and national defense is to get out of the way of the American people. Some thoughts on the economy after this.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The former president of the AFL-CIO, Lane Kirkland, once said that it was through work and work alone that a man or woman realizes their own true potential, provides for their families, and secures their own future. When government gets out of the way, the economy will brighten as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
All right, Kevin. We've got about 5 minutes until the end of this program. We're going to take a very quick break, and then Barbara Buffing will be joining us to fill us in on what happens tomorrow night on Women Patriots with Brenda and Barbara. So stay right where you are.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
All righty, welcome back. Duke Brooks here. We are joined now live through the magic of internet radio by Barbara Buffing. Good evening, my friend.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
No, I'm good. I'm tired. It's been a busy day.
Yeah, and I'm sure you were getting all set for your show tomorrow night. Fill us in on what's going to be happening on Women Patriots with Brenda and Barbara tomorrow night.
We have Stacey Swimp. He's the founder and president of the Frederick Douglass Society. He's a blogger, and many other projects that he's got. And he's going to bring his fury to... Women Patriots, because he's just as angry as we are about the government and the Constitution and bringing the Constitution to the urban areas. So, you know, we've got another good one on the show. So I'm excited.
I think that many of our problems in this country would begin to go away, Barbara, if more Americans knew the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
I once had a conversation with a very, very smart guy, a real serious computer guy who has done extraordinarily well in the world. And we were talking about abortion, and he said to me, "Oh, it's in the Constitution. Abortion's legal." And I said to him, "No, Paul, it's not. The word abortion is not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution,
nor
in the amendments." And I had to explain to him at length that it was a Supreme Court decision, not a constitutional act, that is called Roe versus Wade. And that's why abortion on demand is legal in this country, unlike the vast majority of other countries in the world. We only have a few seconds. Thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to hearing your show tomorrow night.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara. Have a great night, everybody. See you next Monday.